at ilovethetruth.com.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. It's being called a terrorist incident, but London Mayor Sadiq Khan says police are not looking for anyone else in the stabbings that took place near London Bridge. Speaking to reporters, the London mayor says members of the public displayed breathtaking heroism charging the suspect.
Members of the public didn't realize at the time that was a hoax device, and they really are the best of us. Another example of the bravery and heroism of ordinary Londoners running towards danger, risking their own personal safety to try and save others. And I want to say thank you to them on behalf of all Londoners.
Suspect was later shot dead by police. Khan says a number of people were wounded in the incident and that some of the injuries are serious. Antoine Levesque, research fellow for South Asia at the International Institute for Strategic Studies, says that he was aware that the U.S. and Taliban have been engaged in ongoing peace talks.
It was, I think, an open secret in the national security and regional diplomatic community that the Trump administration was already privately speaking to the Taliban since October 2019, so barely a month after calling off the deal in early September.
President Trump has announced that the U.S. and Taliban have been engaged in those talks. That's after making a Thanksgiving Day trip to Afghanistan. Also at SRNnews.com, President Trump and his lawyers invited to attend next week's impeachment hearing.
The president is scheduled to be in England on Wednesday for a summit with NATO allies, and it's unclear if the White House will send any representatives to Capitol Hill. The December 4th hearing will feature legal experts who will examine questions of constitutional grounds as the panel decides whether to write articles of impeachment against Donald Trump.
White House correspondent Greg Cluxton. Stocks fell in light post-holiday trading, the Dow off 112 points and the Nasdaq down 39. This is SRN News.
It's hard for us to imagine a perfect world, but as Billy Graham tells us, one used to exist.
There was no violence, there was no hate, there were no policemen, no soldiers, no poverty, no social injustice.
So what on earth happened?
It was in that perfect environment that man chose to rebel against his creator. And since that moment, man has passed on from generation to generation a disease that is called in the Bible sin.
That sin separates us from a perfect God. But there is good news.
The Bible says God so loved the world, and he said, instead of destroying man, I'm going to save man.
You can be saved when you start a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Learn more at findpeacewithgod.net. And it's from the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association.
Hey, this is Doug McCary from SWAT Radio. We want to wish you a happy Thanksgiving. And Brad and I are going to be off for the next couple of days enjoying Thanksgiving celebration with our families. So I hope you enjoy the best of SWAT for Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday of this week. And have a great Thanksgiving. We'll see you back after the holidays.
Mission sequence time.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
All engines running. Hey, good afternoon. Welcome to SWAT Radio. Brad Sykes and Doug McCary on this Thursday afternoon, Thursday edition of SWAT. Glad you joined us. I don't know that we're going to take any calls today, Doug. What is your thoughts?
No calls. If you want to communicate, you can send us an ask at SWATradio.com email. It goes to ask@SWATradio.com. If for some reason that gets kicked back, you can send to Doug at SWAT Radio or Brad at SWAT Radio. We'll get your question, but we have a guest in here today. It's a VIP.
Kind of fun to have a guy in studio.
Yes,
too,
it know? Is, and he has been a guy that we've grown to love over the last, I think, year and a half, maybe.
Yeah.
You're going to be really encouraged if you know anybody struggling, because they've made a bad choice, because they've gotten a bad diagnosis, just because they're struggling. You might want to call them and tell them to tune in. Because this brother that we have on today has a story an unbelievable unfolding story, how God redeemed his life and is using him now. And I'm just really excited. I was talking to him the other day on the phone, and I sat there and I go, I've been wanting to get him on for a long time because of some other things we've talked about, but now it's become even more pertinent and you're going to hear. But Gil Smith, welcome to SWAT Radio.
Thank you. I'm really glad to be here. I've been wanting to come on for a while.
Well, I'm really excited to have you on. Gil, just to tell a little bit about your background. First of all, you are married to Lolita. How long you been married?
We're married 25 years now.
25 years. You have two children.
Right.
Right.
Philip and Kayla.
And life for you was going along pretty good for a while, except you didn't have God as a part of it, right?
No part at all. Did not believe, did not understand why other people were so passionate about God. I was always respectful of their views and their opinions. It just wasn't part of my life, and I didn't want it to be part of my life.
Well, and when you were, you grew up, you didn't grow up in Florida. Like most people, you're transplanted here. So Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Cleveland, Ohio. Born and raised there in the Cleveland public school system on the east side of Cleveland. And, with my family, my brother, my parents divorced when I was about 9 years old. And then after high school, I went to college and graduated from Ohio University in Athens, Ohio.
Yeah, and growing up, you and I talked a little bit about it. Your parents, you're not even sure they were believers, although they did take you to church, right?
Yeah, we did go to church, but they never talked about spiritual things the way my brother did. Now, my brother went on to get a master's degree in divinity from Colgate, and he pastored a church in New York for a while. So he died in 1993.
So he was a believer.
He was a believer, a very strong believer from the time he was a child.
Did he ever try to talk to you about it?
No, that's something about family. That doesn't usually happen. I think he would have as we were getting older. We didn't get along very well when we were younger, but as we matured, we were starting to get along better. And I'm sure that he would have. And I was kind of joking with my mother because I had nothing to do with the church. My parents had to make me go on Sunday mornings. I was just laying in bed thinking, okay, maybe they'll forget that I'm here.
And
I won't have to go to church.
Did you ever pretend to be sick so you didn't have to go?
No, I didn't do that. But, my brother died in 93, and I had nothing to do with the church. And I was joking with my mother a few weeks ago. I said, if my brother could come alive for a short period of time now, he would probably drop dead again, knowing that I'm so involved in the church and I have the Spirit of God in me now.
Yeah, well, your story takes you from Cleveland, Ohio, to Jacksonville. Well, actually, to Miami first. Didn't you go to Miami, or were you in Jacksonville when you went to do TV work down
there? Yeah, I worked in television in Miami. I moved there in 84 after I graduated college. It was 13 degrees below zero with the wind chill when I was in Cleveland at the time. Yeah. And somebody called me from a friend of mine who graduated before me called me and said, I have a job for you in Hollywood, Florida. I said, what's the temperature right there? He said, it's 85 degrees. I said, I'm on my way.
you bolted out of that quick.
I got out of that. Haven't been back except to visit. I had enough of that cold weather.
Did you have big aspirations for TV or movies or anything, or did you just enjoy? What were you doing with the TV industry down there?
Well, I worked at a cable station there, and I was just responsible for, making sure that the programs went on the air. I was working in the tape room. Then they were bought out by a Spanish broadcasting station, Blair Broadcasting, and they transitioned to a regular broadcast station. So I was a photographer, and I would go out and shoot news stories in the Miami area. And that's how I became interested, actually, in police work, because I would go to crime scenes and see police officers there and talk with them. And it was the first time I had a job that was outside of a building as a news photographer, because I would go from call to call. The police did the same thing. So I really liked being out and moving around. And so that sort of started my interest in law enforcement.
And that took you to Jacksonville Sheriff's Office, right?
Right.
Which we actually overlapped when I was an FBI agent here in 91 to 95. I did a lot of work with JSO, and you were working at JSO at that time, but we didn't know each other then. We knew some of the same people, but you were working there. And what kind of work did you do for JSO?
Well, I worked in street patrol for about 5 years on the north side of Jacksonville. I became a DARE officer. That was a drug abuse resistance education. That was a curriculum that was taught to sixth graders.
Mm-hmm.
I really enjoyed that. When Nat Glover was elected sheriff, I became the public information officer.
So since you're doing media, right?
Since I had a background in media, I was the liaison between the police department and media. And there are some really strong conflicts there. There's a lot of distrust that police have toward media, and media feels the same way about police. So, you know, it was.
You think
sort of,
we still struggle with that?
Oh, yeah, still do. So, that was interesting.
Well, you did that for a while, and then you retired. I mean, you actually put in your 25 years, I guess.
Yeah, 26.
And retired. And what'd you do after retirement?
Well, after retirement, I'm on the computer, and I get a message from a reporter, Joy Purdy, who was an anchor at Channel 4.
Mm-hmm.
Her husband was a police officer there, too, and I knew Joy from when I was. This is after I was a public information officer.
Mm-hmm.
But this was like her first job when she first came to Jacksonville. And whenever a reporter came in for the first time, it was their first job, but they were new as a reporter.
And this is WJXT, right?
Yes, right. She was at a different station. When she first got here, I would spend more time with, you know, new reporters out of college, showing them the ropes, showing them how things were done. So she remembered that. And around 2014, Ken Jefferson was their crime and safety analyst at Channel 4. And he had to leave because he was running for sheriff, so he couldn't stay at the station.
Okay.
So Joy was telling me that Ken is leaving. I said, okay, I understand that. And she said, well, we wanted to interview you as the next crime analyst. I'm like, for what? I don't do things on the air. I got a face for radio. I don't do television.
Hmm.
And she had to talk me into it, and I interviewed, and I was nervous about it. Wasn't sure that it was something I really wanted to do.
Hmm.
But I was hired by Channel 4 and really enjoyed it. There were some great people there at Channel 4. Really enjoyed working with the reporters, and even the management, you know, was very, you know, very kind to me.
Was that kind of hard for you, making the transition from being either a patrol or a guy, a detective out doing police work, to going to work with a television station again? I mean, after doing it for 20 years?
Well, it was different because I stopped working in television in 1986. Then come back 30 years later, you know, I felt like I was from the Stone Age.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm looking for videotape machines. Everything's on computer, electronic. The cameras are a lot smaller and easier to carry around. And it was just a lot different, you know. But some of the basics were still there, you know, in terms of broadcasting. So, you know, it wasn't a hard transition. But and it was fun, and I enjoyed doing the work.
And when you met Lolita during your time at the JSO, she was a believer or not a believer at that time?
Oh, yeah, she was a believer. She grew up in a family with eight brothers and sisters.
Mm-hmm.
And their mother guided them to church every Sunday. In fact, her father, who has the same birthday as I do, was the minister of the church. So, you know, she had a strong background in church. She was a correction officer at the time, and that's how I met her.
Uh-huh.
I was putting someone in jail. And she was working the back door of the jail as you bring them in, and she was working there, and that's how we met.
Wow. And so you guys met, and how did her faith impact you initially? I mean, was it a source of conflict for you? Like, was she trying to get you to go to church, and or did she just kind of silently wind you by praying for you?
Well, she did not push it, but I knew that she wanted me to go. So I would go maybe about once a month or so. I said, okay, if I go this week, I won't have to worry about it for the next few weeks.
You'd appease her, right?
Right, I'd appease her. And, you know, I was just not into it at all. I would look at my watch, especially during football season. Okay, I hope we can get out of here by one.
Yeah.
Let's make this quick. And but the pastor of the church, Nat McLean, was someone I knew from JSO. He was the chief pilot in the air unit at JSO. So, you know, him and my wife.
So now you're in trouble because now you got a former JSO guy who's the pastor of the church, and your wife conspiring in prayer for you.
Well, not really. I really didn't get pressure from either one of them.
Yeah.
You know, the pastor thought
that you knew about.
Right. Right. That I knew about.
Yeah.
You know, they did not pressure me, but I would go, and very good people there at the church, and Pastor McLean and the staff. And so none of them ever pressured me at all. You know, they let me come, let me go. And that was it.
Yeah, well, you know, I know that something happened in your life back in 2018.
Right.
that was a life changer.
Yes.
And we're going to talk about that. We're going to come back. But it was one of those watershed moments in your life.
Right.
And God forever changed the course of your life after that, didn't he?
Changed forever.
And so when we come back, we're going to talk about that on SWAT Radio.
Yeah, glad you joined us today. Gil, so good to have you in studio. I'm just over here jotting notes down. So often we have guests and we're growing in our faith as we hear these testimonies. Glad you're with us. If you want to call us, email us, whatever, ask@SWATradio.com. We'll be right back.
This program has the potential to reach millions of men each week. If you'd like to learn how you can support this unique program that is helping men understand the truth about Jesus through God's Word and how to impact their lives and the lives of others, then go to www.swatradio.com. Then click on the donate link to help SWAT Radio pass on the truth for the next generation. SWAT Radio is underwritten in part by The Guardian Group. You know Brad Sykes as the co-host of SWAT Radio. While Brad is committed to making disciples both on and off the air, his ministry extends into the marketplace as a licensed real estate agent with Keller Williams Southside. Brad and his wife Vicki are real estate agents in Northeast Florida and are the founding partners of The Guardian Group. They help people buy, sell, and invest in real estate. The Guardian Group, with offices near Butler and Southside Boulevards, 904-580-7255. And online at guardiangroupjax.com. The Guardian Group, happy to bring you SWAT Radio on the truth.
SWAT Radio is brought to you in part by Ace Door and Window Service, Inc. Ace Door and Window Service, Inc. is a full-service sales door and window installation company. Both of the owners are licensed contractors and are involved in the daily operations of the company. All of their trucks are company-owned and fully equipped. Their mission is to provide Jacksonville and the surrounding area with door and window replacement services. To learn more, call 904-701-3667. That's 904-701-DOOR. Or online at www.acedoor.com.
I pull, go back and forth, finding myself pounding on a locked door. I try to make it out alone without your help, but I know I never win this war. I can never be, never be free without you. I can never be, never be me without you.
Hey, welcome back to SWAT Radio. Brad and Doug here on this Thursday afternoon. We've got a special guest in studio, Gil Smith, a fellow SWAT brother. And, you know, Doug, as I was listening, I was reminded of really what we were even studying this week at SWAT. You know, we're looking at Hebrews, you know, who the writer is writing to are those, who, you know, one of the groups is those who have the intellectual knowledge of who Jesus is, but there's been no change in their life. And Gil, it made me think of you as you were sharing your testimony. You grew up, your brother was a pastor, your wife loved the Lord. You know, you're around people, you're attending church, maybe not as regular as maybe you should, but the reality is you probably had a head knowledge of who Jesus was.
If people would have asked you, Gil, if you were a Christian, would you have said, "I'm a Christian," probably because you knew in your brain?
I would not have felt like a Christian. I might have said that I was a Christian if I felt they were trying to push me into Christianity or talk about it.
Yeah, I'm already one.
Quite often people would say, "Well, what church do you attend?" I would just throw out a church name just to end the conversation because I just did not want to go there.
But I was not. You knew deep in your heart there was no buy-in.
None at all.
Yeah, and then you're walking, or you're over in 2018 on Phillips Highway in a part of town that probably is not a good part of town, and your life gets changed. What happened?
It's changed forever because that was, I'll never forget the date, February 16th, 2018. Before that, I'm working at the TV station. I'm being recognized for being on air. I mean, the world was mine. Everything was about me.
Mm-hmm.
People are coming up and wanting to take selfies, get autographs, take me to their parents. Oh, yeah, come meet my parents. We love watching you on TV. And I just thought I was the center of everything.
Mm-hmm.
But I was still living a very dark life.
Mm-hmm.
I was in darkness, in sin, that was just, I thought was not known.
Mm-hmm.
However, my wife knew that something was wrong. She didn't know what was going on. And she had been praying for me. And later she told me she just prayed to God and said, God, whatever is going on with Gil, just reveal it. Mm. Just reveal it to me.
Wow.
And that is what happened. It was revealed. And I was arrested for soliciting for prostitution.
Wait a minute. So you're a police officer.
No, I'm retired.
No. But you were a police officer.
Right. I was a police officer.
So you understood very clearly that you were stepping over a boundary.
Right.
Legally.
Exactly.
Right.
Even if I wasn't a police officer, I knew that.
Yeah, most people know that.
Right.
And so you took yourself to a part of town. Did that just, was that a passing thought that you acted on? Or was it a buildup of habitual sin that led to that point?
Habitual sexual sin. Not just that. Even had an affair that was going on for a while. So, but I knew that these things were wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But I just answered to the flesh. This is what I want.
Yeah.
You know, this is my life. Almost like my parents created me, no one else. I can do what I want to do with my life.
You were your own God, right? I was.
You know, everything revolved around me. It wasn't that it started, you know, just because I was on television. I was living in darkness and did not even know it. Didn't know what darkness was. I thought everything was just great.
Can I ask you a question about that time of your life? Oh, because God, obviously not a part, except for your wife, you know. When you would give in to those things, did it ever leave you feeling really fulfilled?
No. And that's just it. And because I sort of branched out prior to that to internet pornography.
Uh-huh.
No matter how much I watched, it was just never satisfying.
Mm-hmm.
So then you would continue for hours and hours and be on the Kindle. My wife knew that something was up. She didn't know what was going on with that either. But all of that was revealed that day. I was just living in total sin, but didn't see it as sin. I just saw it as these are the desires that I have.
Well, and you know, I came back from Israel, and I don't think you were there that week, but, you know, the Bible calls that chaos, too. You know, the word chaos really means lacking form, or it's a void, and it's... It's no design. It's just, that's the way Genesis 1:2 described it. And when our lives go apart from God's design, it's chaos. Mm-hmm. And we bring that chaos into other people's lives. And so that happened to you. Tell what happened when you were arrested. What was going through your mind as you're in the car? Were you angry? Were you sad? Were you upset? I know you were upset. You had to be upset. I mean, what was going on in Gil's mind?
I was very upset. I mean, sitting in the back seat of a car, looking at the officer in the front seat where I have sat
mm-hmm.
for many years with people in the back seat. Now I'm in the back seat.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm embarrassed. I'm thinking, okay, how can I get out of this? Maybe they can call some people. I still wasn't focusing on the fact that I was committing sin.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still thinking about myself. How do I get out of this
mm-hmm.
and go back to live the life that I was living?
Yeah.
This is a temporary setback. How do I get out of it?
How do I maintain my world?
Exactly. Keep things as it is. And then I realized that's not going to happen. Calls were made. No one came through for me.
Mm-hmm.
And the officer opened the back door and said, I'll never forget. He said, brother, I got to take you downtown. Mm-hmm. And it just, my world just came down completely.
Mm-hmm.
Everything just came down. Going to the jail, going through the process. They took me through separately than the other people who were arrested. And the process was a bit different because of
you being a police officer
and having some celebrity status also.
Yeah.
But it's the process. Going through the process that I had walked people through for years. Now I'm going through it. Now I'm being fingerprinted. I'm being photographed. They didn't put me in a general population cell. They put me in a cell by myself. And I can still remember the smell of the cell. The jail, downtown jail, has a certain smell
mm-hmm.
that you don't forget.
No.
And I'm sitting there wearing this orange uniform, laying on the cot, looking up. What have I done? Where am I? This, and I would pinch myself a couple times.
Mm-hmm.
Saying, no, this is real. I'm not dreaming. And it was the darkest moment of my life and have not experienced anything darker since then or before.
Mm.
And I just thought this is the worst thing that could ever happen to me. And I was actually bailed out of jail by people at Channel 4. Got some attorneys. Mm-hmm. They bailed me out of jail. The main reason they did that was because, of course, the other stations knew about it.
Yeah, yeah, they wanted to try to they make sure they do damage control, right?
Well, that, and also didn't want video of me wearing that orange jumpsuit.
I got you.
I did not want that either.
Yeah.
So they bailed me out. And I remember telling them, I said, okay, I want you to know, and I got out of the jail into the car, I said, I am not suicidal. I said, I will not do anything to hurt myself. Mm-hmm. I said, however, if someone put a gun through that window and shot me in the head, and I had 10 seconds to live, I would spend that 10 seconds thanking them for the bullet to take me out of my misery, that I don't have to go through this public humiliation. Mm. Wasn't thinking of my wife. She's the one in my family. They're going to be going through the humiliation also. Mm-hmm. But I wasn't thinking about them. I'm still thinking about Gil Smith. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Well, you know what's interesting is I had a guy tell me one time, one of the things that can be very helpful to you as a man out there, or a woman either for that matter, is if you're ever tempted with something that you know could bring a lot of damage, write out all the consequences that would happen if you got exposed in a public way, which you did.
I mean,
once you get arrested, there is no hiding anything.
Right, but I knew the consequences before I did what I did.
Yeah,
I knew the consequences, but my fleshly desires were stronger than the risks and the consequences. Knowing that maybe 10, 15 other people were arrested that night for the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, I'm going to stand out on television, the former police officer, and it did.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm thinking like within a 24, 48-hour period, I was on all of the TV stations, all over social media, in the newspaper. I'm thinking maybe a million people, half a million people knew of my sin. The other people who were arrested, maybe a handful.
And nobody that I know would have said that that amount of time of pleasure with anything or anybody
would be worth it. Not at all.
See, that's the point I was trying to make, is that when you think about everything, when we think about consequences, we don't think about them in terms of reality. We think about them in terms of, that's only if I'm getting caught.
Exactly.
And we think we won't get caught. But your wife prayed that you would be exposed. Your pastor probably was praying that God would change your heart.
Probably.
And the only way our hearts get changed is through brokenness.
That's right.
You know? And so what happened, I mean, when you got home, obviously you had to meet your wife sometime, right, that night,
right,
or that whenever you got released. How did that go when you met her?
I knew that she would not be violent toward me, which I could, anybody could understand that they would be. And I walked in the house and she was standing there. She said, come here, give me a hug. I'm like, what?
Hmm.
And she did. And we let it go for that night. It was late at night, like maybe midnight, 1 a.m. And I went to sleep. She woke up. And that's when things really started moving.
Mm-hmm.
Started moving. She was upset, and understandably so.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, she's an assistant chief with the sheriff's office.
Mm-hmm.
So that high of a rank, everyone knowing what her husband did, he would think that she would not go to work. That was a Thursday night. She didn't have to go to work Friday. Mm-hmm. She could have waited till Monday, Tuesday, let it cool over for a little while. But she said, no, I have to go to work. They know that I am a child of God, and they need to see that. They need to see that in me.
Mm-hmm.
And she went to work, and mainly that day, she stayed for a few hours. The main thing she did was she wanted to walk the halls. And people are looking at her like she's crazy. What are you doing here?
Mm-hmm.
But she just wanted them to know that she has that strength of God in her, and that God would carry her through. I still wasn't there yet. But I think most people would not have gone into work that day.
Mm.
And she was extremely embarrassed.
Rightfully so.
Rightfully so.
Yeah, I mean, because it was a bad choice.
Exactly.
And it brought consequences on her for nothing that she did other than be married to you.
Right. She did absolutely nothing wrong.
And
sometimes people might want to say, well, what led you to do what you did? Was your wife not satisfactory to you? Were there this type of problems? No. No, it was 100% on me. My wife had nothing to do. It was all the darkness that was within me that was there. That just threw out the consequences. You'll go out there and get what you want. This is your world. You get what you want.
And that's what the what Satan preaches to us. Well, when we come back, we're going to hear the rest of that story.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. A man wearing a fake explosive vest stabbed several people in London in what police are treating as a terrorist attack. Police now say two people were killed in that stabbing near London Bridge that ended when the attacker was shot dead by police. Hundreds of Hong Kong pro-democracy activists rallied outside the British consulate, urging the city's former colonial ruler to emulate the U.S. and take action to support their cause as police ended a blockade of a university campus after 12 days. The rally comes a day after President Trump signed into law two bills to support democracy and human rights in the semi-autonomous Chinese territory. Workers at Amazon's distribution centers in Germany on strike for better pay on Black Friday. That's one of the busiest days of the year for the online retailer. The Dow finishing down 112 points and the Nasdaq was off 39. This is SRN News.
This is Live Empowered with Kelly Latta, a daily encouragement to find life and love in the pursuit of Jesus. Here's Kelly.
My world looks and feels a little different ever since my family and I served at Haiti Bible Mission. I have never seen such a glaring contrast in my surroundings. Nestled amid some of the most amazing natural beauty in all creation, bare feet walked dusty roads littered with trash, and half-dressed children played in the streets, hungry for both food and attention. 1 John 3 says, "But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him?" God sees those people the same way he sees you and me. He died for them too, and he's looking for people who are willing to show them God's amazing love in action.
Live Empowered is now available as a podcast. Search Live Empowered with Kelly Latta on iTunes or your favorite podcast service.
I've been given a hope and a future. I've been blessed beyond all measure. I am counting every blessing, letting go and trusting when I cannot see. I am counting every blessing, surely every season you are good to me.
Hey, welcome back to SWAT Radio. Brad and Doug here on this Thursday afternoon with our special guest, Gail Smith. And, you know, Gail, I'm sitting over here just kind of jotting down stuff. And I was thinking, Doug, you and I talked about this, you know, either in discipling men, counseling men who have been caught in sin, adulterous sin. And oftentimes there's a guilt that comes over them. But really what they want is they want just to get out of the situation. And it was something that kind of you said as you're sitting in the back of that car is like, gosh, how can I get out of this? You know, how can I restore the world that I had, you know? And so often we forget that when we get outside, as Doug kind of mentioned, this whole idea of chaos, when we get outside of the will of God, it's chaos. You know, and I think of Proverbs says the way of the transgressor is hard. Mm-hmm. You know, but so often when we sin, we expect that there's not consequences, and there is. But I was thinking about that song, Counting All the Blessings. You've shared with me a couple of times just in the last month or two, just that what you're going through, what you went through was really a blessing. We can't even fathom the fact that God would take a situation like that and use it for our good. And anyway, it just made me think about that. It also made me encouraged to hear what your wife did. I mean, to think that you showed up, what was it, midnight, 1 o'clock, and the first thing she does is she hugs you. Boy, that is a supernatural response. Mm-hmm. And I think of Romans 2, verse 4 says that it's God's love that leads to repentance. You know, think about that. It's God's love that leads to repentance. And God's love is working through your wife. That ultimately led to your repentance, correct?
That's true. I couldn't understand that at the time because, you know, I'm still living a dark life. you know, how can she forgive something like that? Excuse me. I just didn't understand the power of God and how God works in people. So I did not understand what was going on with her. And, you know, it was just the my first example of the strength and the power of God in people, the forgiving nature that God puts in people, even at the worst moment. That was a test for her.
Well, you thought she was going to leave you, didn't you?
Yeah, I thought she was. I went in the back. I went in the garage and started looking for boxes to pack and said, okay, I know she's putting me out, and I'm in there looking for boxes. She goes, where are you going? She said, don't punk out on me now. Come on in here and let's talk about this. We're going to work this out.
That's like, a good woman right
yeah,
there, man.
a great woman.
Yeah.
Controlled by the Spirit.
Led by the Spirit.
If not by the Spirit, that just would not have happened. And I just did not understand that. So now I've been getting some counseling from the pastor, McLean, going to his office a couple of times, just talking with him. And once I found out that Channel 4 was not going to for some reason in my mind, I'm thinking my world's just going to continue as it was. My wife was like, Gil, you were the crime analyst. You committed a crime. They are not going to keep you. I'm like, no, they love me. They'll keep me.
Isn't that interesting how our minds just work that way? We just want to keep our world in order. Right. Try the way we think we do it.
Exactly.
So, but here's the thing. Your wife, Lolita, was putting God on display in front of you.
Exactly.
A guy who had heard about God, but never really bought into him. And God says, okay, Gil, I'm going to show you what my love really looks like.
Exactly.
And he put that love on display. And what began to happen after that? You said you were meeting with the pastor. He was helping you. But then what happened between you and him and you and your wife? How did that work to get you to where you are today walking with the Lord?
Well, once I found out that I was no longer going to be working at Channel 4, the first person I called was my wife, and I told her. And she said, yeah, I told you that you need to call Pastor now. Okay, so I called him. And he asked me two questions that I don't remember. Then he said, I'm going to ask you one more question. I guess you know what I'm going to ask you, Gil. I said, no. It took him about 30 seconds to ask the question. And I'm going over the viaduct on University, going over past Powers. He said, are you saved? And I thought about it. It took me about 30 seconds to answer. I said, well, if it's taking me this long to answer the question, I guess I'm not. And he said, okay, well, when you get home, get your wife's Bible, because he knew I didn't have one, I guess, at that point. And he said, go to Romans chapter 10, verse 9, and read that. If you believe that, then say it aloud. And I read that. Yes, I do believe that Jesus died for our sins, and he is our Savior. And I just felt something growing in me, something instantly just felt that was inside of me. Don't know. Now I know it was the Holy Spirit that was coming into me. And things just started changing, and things still became difficult between my wife and I because we had a lot to work out, not just that particular incident, but other things in the history of it. You know, it was not, you know, rainbows and butterflies at home. It was a difficult time, a very difficult time.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to work through these things with her and in a spiritual way. But then I started, I opened up the Bible, and I was directed to read the Bible. Now, in the past, whenever I picked up the Bible, I would look at it. You could hand me the Bible upside down, and I wouldn't know the difference.
Mm-hmm.
It was just that confusing and that meaningless, and I just could care less about the Bible. Now I'm reading, and I'm just understanding things, and things are opening up to me and opening up in me. I started reading in the book of Matthew. My pastor advised that I started the Gospels. So I read Matthew and was reading about the experiences of Christ on earth. And just the amazing work, and I just could not put the Bible down. It would be late at night, and I would still just continue to read. You know, I was just fascinated by the Scripture, but I wasn't sure that it was sincere in my part. Mm-hmm. I thought, man, this can't be real. I'm 57 years old.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was never into Christ, into the Bible before. Maybe I'm just doing this because I'm in a dark place, and I'm embarrassed. I'm looking for a crutch, because that's how I saw religion.
Mm-hmm.
People who were Christians were looking for a crutch, something to hold on to sustain them. Fine, if you need that, keep that crutch. I just don't need it. And I just found things so different once I started reading the Scriptures. And then I went to Genesis, and that's when things really changed. I'm like, wait a minute. I thought this book was about perfect people. And I'm like, some of these people are more screwed up than I am.
There's a lot of messed up people.
A lot of messed up people.
Why do you think that is, Gil?
Yeah, but one thing they had in common is they had a deep love of God, even though they were, you know,
But they're needy, just like we're all needy.
Yeah,
right?
I thought it was just me, but no, we're all sinful people. We are all full of sin. And God can, I said, now what can God do with these people? You know, I always read about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I knew those three in order, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But then when I started reading about them, I was like, man, this Abraham guy is off the chain. I mean, I can't believe some stuff he's doing. But he had a love of God. He'd had that in him, you know, and that's what I didn't have in me. The sin that I had, but not the love of God. And that's when my life really started changing, when I started believing and understanding, and just put that trust in God that I thought that I would never do. Mm-hmm. And realizing it took that arrest. God had to bring me down to nothing, take me all the way down. Because, you know, just weeks prior, I was on top of the world. And now I am broken down completely. Now, since I'm down to nothing, God was able to build me back up to the man that I needed to be. But that's what it took.
Well, and then you got involved with Bible Study Fellowship, and you got involved with church. You got involved with SWAT. And all those ministries were growing as you read the Bible, and God was growing you over the last, I guess, 2 years, right? Year and a half?
Yeah, about 18 months. But it really started with the church. And the pastors and other people in the church, you know, I know there had to be some talk about me. There had to be gossip because of what I did. You know, that was all over the city. And I attended new members class because it's a Bible teaching church. Do a lot of Bible study, have Bible classes. They really teach scriptures straight from the scripture. And so the new members class was about 8 weeks. You know, you just don't come in and join. He wants you to understand how the church works. And the member, I attended the first new members class, and it was before church service. And I was still very embarrassed that I walked out of the pastor's office and looked to see if anyone was coming. And then I would run to the car. I wouldn't go to church service.
Yeah.
I went home. I was just too embarrassed to go into the sanctuary. Yeah. I would go home and maybe listen to it later on the internet.
Because you were thinking everybody else in there is a lot better than
everybody's
you, right?
Everybody's better than me. And this guy is the worst sinner. You know, why would we allow him, you know, into this church of good people? But they welcomed me. And I was surprised by that. Because I just did not understand the loving spirit of God. But I was learning and just reading and just, you know, getting more and more into scripture. And I branched out. My wife was listening to the radio and said, you might want to listen to these guys on 91.7, these SWAT guys. I said, okay. I listened and attended a SWAT Bible study and also Bible Study Fellowship. Someone else told me about that. So I have these people in my lives that are directing me into a deeper relationship with God. Didn't understand that was what was going on. But I knew I was changing. My family knew that I was changing, especially when my kids go to my wife and say, something's going on with Dad. I see God in him. When they said that, I was like, that just blew me away. That they could actually, I didn't think that they could, anyone could see that. I felt it, but I didn't think that that could be seen on the outside. But those changes were occurring in me. I was treating people differently. I was doing things differently. And it was visible in them.
And so God was putting himself on display in you to your children because they were seeing those changes. And what's really cool is we got to witness it after those things were starting to happen. And you know, you've been part of SWAT for about, like I said, a little over a year maybe. And as we've gotten to know you, you've made some comments. One of the comments that you made particularly was you're a liberal Democrat from up north coming into a predominantly white conservative group of men, and that wouldn't have happened 2 or 3 years ago where you would have come in there and felt the kind of brotherhood you feel now, right?
Oh, not at all. 2 years ago, I would have walked in there. Like I said, I was born and raised in Cleveland in the inner city, a very liberal area, a Democrat. And then I come in, I walk in there, and I see that you know, most of the men in here are,
by the way, I forgive you for that, because I know you forgive me for being something different. So hey, we got to go to a break. When we come back, we're going to pick up on this and get we're not political here, but we'll
no,
be right
hey
back.
The best of the story's coming. Yeah, too, by the
yeah,
way.
Yeah,
glad you joined us. You have any questions or comments, send us an email, ask@swatradio.com, and we'll be right back.
If you'd like to contact SWAT Radio, the toll-free number is 1-844-777-7928. That's 844-777-7928 or 844-777-SWAT. You can also listen to this program through the WTRJ The Truth app from the App Store or over the Internet by accessing www.swatradio.com. We'll be back shortly for further discussion and to take your calls.
We're so grateful for having people like Tom Neal Truck Company sponsoring SWAT Radio. Tom Neal Truck Company is located at 417 Edgewood Avenue South in Jacksonville, Florida. Tom Neal is a full-service franchise truck dealer for Freightliner, Western Star, Volvo, Isuzu, and Sprinter vans, offering new and used truck sales, service, parts and truck rental and leasing to the North Florida and South Georgia truck market. More information on Tom Neal Truck Company is located at www.tomneal.com. That's www.tomneal.com.
Ramblers in the wilderness, we can't find what we need. We get a little restless from searching, get a little worn down in between. Like a bull chasing.
Hey, welcome back to SWAT Radio. Brad and Doug here on this Thursday afternoon with our special guest, Gil Smith. You know, I was thinking about Gil and you, you know, coming to the SWAT Bible studies, and yeah, there being a difference between us, but you know what? That's the body of Christ, you know. And, you know, one of the things that Doug has encouraged us, and for well over a year now, Doug, probably we've been saying the Shema. To lead every SWAT Bible study, that you know, that we will love the Lord our God with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, and all our strength. And you know, you cannot love God without a steady diet of the Word of God. And it sounds like that was really the first step for you. I mean, your pastor sent you to the Word of God to go read in Romans 10. You very quickly, as you felt the Spirit move in you, he gave you a hunger for the Word of God and to get in it.
It was internal.
Absolutely.
From the Spirit, which is not somebody pressuring you to do it.
You know, Doug, you and I catch a fair amount of grief because we make a lot of the Word of God. We don't worship the Word of God, but we know that a right worship comes out of a knowledge of who God is. How do we know God apart from His Word and His creation?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Doug, I'm thinking of Psalm 19, you know, the heavens declare the glory of God, the sky above proclaims His handiwork. Mm-hmm. Yet the Word of God, even as we looked at Hebrews first chapter, you know, the things which, you know, the prophets brought, but in these latter days.
Spoken through the Son. Through Jesus.
Yeah. So.
Well, we got an email from one of our SWAT brothers that thanked Gil for his testimony, and he brought up this scripture, Psalm 66. It said, your testimony reminded them of this. Come and hear, all you who fear God, and I will tell you what He's done for my soul. I cried to Him with my mouth, and high praise was on my tongue. If I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But truly God has listened, and He has attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, because He has not rejected my prayer or removed His love from me. And Gil, part of the reason that you have enjoyed the benefits of God's grace and His love and all these things is you've repented. Repentance is such a big part of the process. And one of the things that Brad and I see in you, and we have seen since we met you, is a spirit of brokenness. Not that you're perfect, but you're broken and repentant. You don't put a fist up to God and say, no, I'm not giving in. You don't put a hand up to him and hold him back. And I've
to say, I don't deserve this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, so I appreciate that. But, you know, as you have grown in SWAT and grown in Bible Study Fellowship and grown at your local church, you have been growing like a weed, but in a good way, not a bad way weed. I mean, just growing how fast a weed grows in the Lord. And you on this path, and about 4 weeks ago, it seems like you get blindsided. It's not, because it doesn't surprise God. But what happened about 4 weeks ago in your life?
Well, I had been having some physical digestion problems. I wasn't quite sure what it was. Doctors couldn't tell what the problem was. And make a long story short, it was September 24th, just a few weeks ago. And the doctor came in and told me that I have stage 4 pancreatic cancer, and that, at least according to the doctor, said it's not curable. But we are going to treat it with chemotherapy, and it was devastating news, of course. But after the doctor explained everything, and I asked him questions, he said, "Are you okay?" I said, "Yes." He said, "I've never had anybody take this type of news so calmly." But I knew it was the Spirit of God in me, because if I had received that news 2 years ago before I was in the Spirit of Christ, I would have been on the floor crying, panicking, kicking, screaming, why me? This isn't fair. This isn't right. You know, but since then, you know, I know that all things happen for a reason, for the will of God. You know, it may not be my will, and it is not my will. I want to live another 40 years. But that's my will. And as it says in Isaiah 55, that speaking of God, my thoughts are not your thoughts. You know that he has a different will. And I've learned, even though it's been a short time, I know that his will is powerful and the most powerful. There were things that I've been wanting to do over the past year, and God has led me in a different direction. It seemed like it was just 10 times better than the direction that I was going in, or maybe what I wanted to do. So I've learned to, in a short time, to, it's difficult at times, just submit to God. Just let it go and let God have it and follow God's guidance.
You mean like he's the king?
He is the king. Exactly. You know, it's hard from Gil being the king. No, you're not Gil. God is the king. And you just don't let that go right away. That takes time. And I have to continue to remind myself. And so when I got this, I had to understand too, man, this is not my will. I don't want to die. But if it is God's will, then I know it's for a greater purpose than what my will is, even though it's difficult.
And how's Lolita been weathering this storm? Because this is a pretty big storm, too.
It is a big storm. And she, of course, has been right there with me. But our relationship has changed completely over the past 18 months. She hasn't changed. It seems like we have changed as a couple. She hasn't changed. I'm the one who's changed. And it's like having a new relationship. You know, we speak of spiritual things. We speak in terms of scripture. We speak in terms of God, which we never did before. I would sit out in the front in my easy chair on my Kindle or watching football. She'd go back in the bedroom, and that's how we'd spend the evening. Now she comes in. I'm running right behind her in the bedroom, and we talk, and we talk, and we talk, and we read, and we And we discuss life as it is. And she is has really been a strong guide for me spiritually. And it's just the relationship is just so much better being led by the Spirit instead of led by the flesh, which I really didn't see it that way before. You know, I didn't think of anything being led by the flesh, but it was. It was just what I wanted to do, what I wanted to be. And now to have love of people, to have concern and love of men, even after getting this diagnosis, you know, I'm thinking of people. Okay, I see this over here. Let me talk to this person. It's like, you know, I'm going through a painful experience, and still my spirit is telling me, not because the Bible says, but because it's in my spirit to still want to reach out. That's why I'm here today, you know, not because of Gil Smith. It's because of the Spirit of God, and what can I do? I'm always asking God, if I have a short time to live, I don't know how short that is, 2 months, 20 years, but whatever time I have left, God, please use me to further the kingdom. What can I do to show my love of mankind? Just use me. And God has been using me now. And it feels great. It sort of reminds me of a Bill Withers song. Sorry, it's a secular song.
That's all right.
And it goes, if it feels this good being used, then keep on using me until you use me up. Of course, he's singing about something else, but it's the same spirit that I have. Just continue to use me.
But see, here's the thing, Gil, and this is where I think we miss it. And Brian and I have talked about this several times. Probably when you were growing up, you were just taught about the salvation or relationship component of Jesus. But you were always designed for partnership with him, to be used by him, to display his glory to people. And, you know, I just got an email from a longtime listener who said, thanks for your courage in sharing your story, Gil. It's to you. It's speaking so much to me, and I guarantee you it's speaking to and helping many men. That right there is what I call a little God winks back at you saying, this is why I made you, Gil, to encourage, to put me on display to people. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. And now you're being used to help other people see. And this partnership is such a key component. And I'm really excited. You were a police officer in the North Side. On November 3rd, SWAT is going to do some work over on the north side of town. We're going to get some guys together, and we're going to go over there to do what you're doing right here, to put the kingdom on display. And one of the reasons we're doing that is because there's a lot of Gils out there who for a long time in their life said no to God. I don't care. I just don't care. I'm going to be me. I'm going to be my own king. And we want them to see that God does care, just like he cared for you. And you were fortunate enough and blessed enough to have Lolita and your pastor praying for you. What would you say, Gil, to the person? We've got just a couple of minutes left. What would you say to the guy who's listening out there, who's maybe bought in intellectually, but he struggles with maybe pornography or some other sin of addiction, and he's still running from God? Even though he may say he's a believer, he's really not bought in. He's running for God. What would you say to that guy?
Oh, boy, it is so difficult when you're living in darkness that way. It's very difficult to say anything to them. You have to experience that yourself. I wouldn't want them to experience what I did, to have to go down that tragic road that I did.
Uh-huh.
But I would encourage them to get with a group of men. That is just so important. You know, I had that within the church. I had that with SWAT. A group of men who have maybe gone down that road. And to open up to them and to share with them. You know, it's a very difficult thing, especially with this type of sexual sin. If it's drug addiction, it's different.
Mm-hmm.
Eating addiction, whatever, it's different. Mm-hmm. Than dealing in sexual sin. People want to keep that closed, want to keep that behind, keep that in the shadows. But dealing with something like this is very difficult. But to open up and just to talk with men, to maybe get in some type of group, and understanding that they are not the only one. So many men are struggling with some type of sexual addiction.
Well, thank you, Gil. I got another text talking about it. You have no idea how you're being used. If you want to listen to this or share it, it should be up on the website by tomorrow, www.swatradio.com. Gil, thank you so much for being here with us today.
I thank you so much for having me here. I really did enjoy this.
Yeah.
Glad you joined us. And Doug, we'll be back tomorrow.
Yeah.
Hopefully you'll tune in. We'll take calls tomorrow.
Yeah, and remember to pray for Gil and his family.
Amen.
As he battles his pancreatic cancer. Thank
Amen.
You.
Amen. All right. Thanks, Tom.
If you missed a SWAT Radio broadcast this week and would like to hear any show in its entirety, then go to SWATradio.com. Click on Past Shows, where you can listen to the broadcast. Also, if you're looking for a band of brothers that gather around God's Word to be a part of, then go to SWATradio.com and email one of our hosts and they can get you plugged in to one of the local SWAT Bible studies. Tune in next time to explore how SWAT Radio is strengthening spiritual warriors and spreading His truth.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online at iLove.